This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program.
Okay, thank you for joining us today on Radioactive Magazine. This is Craig Lubo, and today we are going to be talking, featuring some of the shows at the 2016 Fringe Festival, which is their 12th year. We've got some directors and writers, and one of the shows is an actor as well with us. We're going to talk about with each one separately, so I'll introduce each one as we get to them. The first one we're going to talk to is Pete, and you say that Bakley?
Pete Bakley.
Okay. And you are the director and of the shows and producer of Upskirt and CEC.
Yes. Well, I'm actually the writer and producer.
Okay.
And I'm not directing these. I have two very good directors, Laura Jacobs and Paul Burns, doing the directing on those two shows. Upskirt and CEC initials for it's something I couldn't put on the poster, but it's Charlie's Enormous, and the third letter stands for an appendage of Charlie that appears in the show. Charlie doesn't, but yeah.
All right. So.
What's the word?
You can't think of the word. You're having a little trouble.
So. Let's talk about each one separate.
Sure.
It's two. They're unrelated shows, is that right?
Exactly.
Yeah, they're combined into kind of one show.
Two different casts, two different directors, okay. But they're each about 20-25 minutes long, and so we're just making an evening of it.
All right.
Two shorter shows.
And what is Upskirt about?
Well, Upskirt is about it's about a young man who has an obsession with going out and taking pictures up women's dresses, and he gets arrested and put in, and he gets assigned a court-ordered psychiatrist. She's not a very good one. He's got an obsessive-compulsive sister who's living with him, and it's just about his therapy sessions going forward, which probably don't make things any better. But he also likes to asphyxiate himself while he's it's a very visual show. Fringe is Fringe. That's what it's that. So
And how long have you been involved in Fringe? Is this your first year, or have you done other shows?
This is my fourth year that I've had shows that I've written in, this is the sixth year that I've actually been involved in it in one way or another.
All right.
So I act and write, but this is the fourth one I've done. Jet Propulsion, Skillet Tag, Drunks, which Brian directed. He also directed Skillet Tag, and this one, Upskirt and CEC.
All right. And tell us a little bit without getting too without getting vivid about CEC.
Well, the story on that one actually is that it starts with a woman knocking on her sister's apartment door. She walks in, she pulls out something out of her purse, slams it on the table. She's been abused, and she's finally had enough. And basically, she and her sister and a friend that they bring into it are discussing what to do before the police come and catch her. And so that's the thing. So they get and they talk and they drink, and it gets more and more vicious, and eventually the police show up. So that's CEC.
All right.
Yeah, it's kind of based on the old John Wayne Bobbitt story from years back, where it struck me that Bobbitt, a couple years later, after that situation happened, got arrested for slapping around his new girlfriend. And I just thought, you know, I'd have learned my lesson. And that's kind of what the play's about.
And now, what about the upskirt? Is that based upon?
Nothing personal. I just always thought that was kind of weird because it's so much more dangerous, and you know, than like actually dating. If you're so upset, you can't talk to a woman, but you've got to sneak and take pictures of their underwear. You know, it's an obsession that goes beyond, you know, just mere gratification. So that struck me as the oddity on that one.
And besides the fringe shows, have you done shows in Kansas City area with other theaters?
I have been doing shows in Kansas City since the 1980s. So as an actor mostly. Okay. And I have done, I did the Funny Thing Happened to the Way of the Form at I've acted in a number of fringe shows. I did a dinner theater show up in Excelsior Springs this last winter. And so I have been involved in theater for many, many years.
All right.
KC.
Anything at Unicorn Theater in the past?
No, Unicorn's one I have not worked at. I went to college with Cynthia, I have never had the opportunity to do that. I've done a few play readings over there.
Okay,
in that space.
All right. And where are the...
We are over at the Arts Asylum. Okay. First show is Friday night, 7:30. And it's over at 9th and Harrison, old church, beautiful venue. And you guys come over there and see these shows. I've got six shows going through the 30th.
All right. And, we'll get to that later. We'll tell them how to find all the
time. Yeah, okay, good.
At the end. All right. So let me go to Brian. Brian Moses. And let's start with Boxes and Ashes. And you're the director and writer? Is that
no, right? just the director.
Okay. Tell us what that show is about.
Boxes and Ashes is a play written by Vicki Burnett, who's a local playwright. And it's about a deceased woman whose ghost shows up to her funeral, and people come and talk about her life and talk to her, not knowing that she's there, but talk to the casket, basically. And you get to find out about her life and her past friends, past lovers, and yeah.
That's at the Arts Asylum.
No, that's at Phosphor Studios. I'm directing four different plays that are all at Phosphor Studios, which is at 1730 Broadway. It's kind of right down the street from CODA. The Boxes and Ashes is the first one. The second one is Bug Hunting by Hayden Pope, who's also one of my students. I've been teaching playwriting in Kansas City for about 3 years, and I decided to direct four of my students' plays. So there's 4-hour-long plays, so they're all different shows at Phosphor Studios. The second one, Bug Hunting by Hayden Pope, is about a guy who has an apartment that's just infested with bugs and flies, and so he takes a salt rifle, and when it gets too itchy, he just shoots them out of the sky. and then he's learning about like how to grow up, basically, and get out of that early 20-something, you know, squalor that people find themselves in.
I've always wanted to try using a canister of mace on insects in my place because it seems like they never die with the pesticides.
Have you ever tried using a spork? Do you use a spork on flies at all? Ever? No. Okay. No, the spork is much better.
All right.
The third show is. John and Leslie are in the copy room again, and that's by Mike Rice. It also stars Pete Bakley. And it's an office romance that takes place in the copy room. And it's a wonderfully sweet little romance story.
It's the opposite of the plays I've written.
Right. Pretty much everything is.
And now you said all of the four plays were plays that you're from your students.
Yes.
So did they Did your students write the
plays?
Yes,
they've all written the plays, yes.
Okay.
And then the fourth one is Chasing Nureyev, which is by Christy Kinnard. And it's about two girls in the early 70s who make a road trip to St. Louis and then back to Kansas City following Rudolf Nureyev, who's a famous Russian ballerina. And it's about them before and after the show and how their lives change because of ballet. It's just a beautiful little story about friendship.
And have you starred in any plays in the area too, besides directing or?
I've acted in plays. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are some of the plays you've done in this area?
Dinner Theater out in Excelsior
Springs. Did the Dinner Theater out in Excelsior okay. Springs. I did a Unicorn show. I've done some shows at the Living Room. I've done some Fringe shows in the past. I don't know, whoever hires me, I just work. I just did a play called The Tall Girls at the Met.
And do you also do any writing as well?
Yeah, I'm a playwright as well. Last year I had my play This, That, Then was at the Fringe. Okay. And and then I've also had the play At the End of Apathy that was done at the Living Room. And the Unicorn did a reading of a play I have called Evolution.
Okay. I think I saw your This, That, Then.
Oh, okay, wonderful.
Was that over at the Phosphor? Too,
no, it was at the Living Room last year. Yeah, it was the park bench play.
Okay.
No, maybe not.
Mixed it up with another play.
That's okay. It happens all the time.
My play Drums was at Phosphor. So.
Right.
I saw that play.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Yeah, and all four of those shows open up on Friday, and they actually run back to back to back to back, so you can spend the whole night there and see four plays.
All right, and is that true every night that your shows?
No, there's no. Then the schedule gets wonky.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And let me go ahead and give out the site, and then we'll give it out at the end of the show again too, for people who want to see the schedules and when these shows are. They can go to kcfringe.org. That's O-R-G. They have the entire schedule up there.
You feel free to drop by Fringe 411, which is in Union Station on the lower level. They've got a lot of stuff there, and they've got all kinds of information.
And they have a very nice, fancy brochure, so you don't have to print it. That way you can save your ink and not have to print it off of your printers. And that will have the schedule and descriptions of the plays, et cetera. And that will also, if you go on that site, you can also learn how to how to attend, the buttons and ticket information.
Right, and there's a purchase of a button, and then there is, there's for the different shows that they have. And you can also purchase tickets online from the site.
Okay. And let me, since Cheryl can't be here this evening, for those who have not been to Fringe before, can one of you give us a little glimpse of what Fringe is about and how it started in Scotland?
Well, I think, Fringe is, it's what, about 16, 18 venues.
Yeah.
There's probably 80 plays going on over a 10-day period.
Always takes place in the middle of a heat wave.
Right. Next week is supposed to be nice. And it's, for me, it's a great representation of Kansas City artists because a lot of the plays are locally grown.
You know,
writers, the directors, the actors. And it amazes me every year, like, how many people are involved in it. And I think it's one of the best representations of what the city can do theater-wise.
Right.
It's such a great opportunity to go out and see a lot of different theater for a very inexpensive price.
I always consider it to be the Kansas City Playwrights Playground.
Yeah.
It allows us to do the stuff that we want to do, and it's always a lot of fun.
And I understand from Cheryl in the past that some of the past Fringe plays have actually been gone on to be performed at Starlight and some other
Yeah, and they go on to different fringe venues, and there's a whole entire fringe circuit, you know, Hollywood, New York fringe circuit, right. Chicago, all different cities, that you can actually just go and take your play and go up to Minneapolis and do your play.
One of my plays got picked up by a theater in Columbus, Ohio, and was done there last year.
And are you any of the shows you're doing this year here, or are you doing those at any of the other fringe sites too?
I don't have
too?
Any plans at this point.
Yeah, no plans. No. Usually, see like how the show does, and if it's really successful, then you start to make plans.
You start setting it around and
All right, so we'll get take a break in a minute, and I want to thank Pete and Brian for being here. For those just joining us, we are talking about the 2016 Fringe Festival, and we have some artists here talking about their shows. And after the break, we'll go to the other two artists here.
Provide an approved reason to vote absentee. Approved reasons include incapacitation or planning to be out of the county on August 2nd. Having to work that day is not acceptable unless you work for the election authority. Sample ballots are downloadable from the website of your county election office. The Kansas City Star reported on July 12th that Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach was sneaky in blocking voting rights for 17,000 Kansans. On the last day to register for the August 2nd primary, he asked the Kansas Rules and Regulations Board to declare that votes for state offices not be counted from people who registered to vote with a driver's license application without showing proof of citizenship like a birth certificate. The board approved his request. It will remain in force for 120 days until after the general election November 8, unless overturned by a federal appellate court, which is not scheduled to meet until after the August 2nd primary. Kobach insists he is only enforcing Kansas law passed to combat an alleged epidemic of illegal voting by people not allowed to do so. Opponents insist that no such epidemic exists, and Kobach's work in this area is part of a larger campaign of voter suppression. This is Spencer Graves, hoping for the best possible primary results with your help. It is not the official position of the Midcoast Radio Project nor 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio, which thanks you for listening.
Okay. For those just joining us, you are listening to Radioactive Magazine, and thank you, Spencer, for that editorial piece and information about the election process. We are talking with my next two guests are from the Fringe Festival. One is Ryan Haruza, and the other is Hirsch Ellis. Let me start with Ryan. You are the director, is that right?
I'm the writer, the producer, and I'm an actor in the show.
And the name of your show is The Lupus Chronicles.
Yes, The
Lupus
Chronicles.
So tell us what that is.
Well, I was diagnosed with lupus in 2011, and I was trying to figure out a way to tell a story about lupus without it being an infomercial, basically, and I'm really influenced by pop and hip-hop and musicals, and I saw what Lin-Manuel Miranda was doing with Hamilton and stuff, and I started writing the show in verse, because my girlfriend was like, try writing in verse, because I tried writing a bunch of different shows, and they would all come out as like, poor me, lupus is the worst thing ever, and then when I started doing that, where everything had to rhyme, then I got over the poor me thing, and it just turned into trying to figure out how to make a compelling story that also kind of educated about lupus, but was entertaining, and using like rap and pop music to make seemingly uninteresting things interesting, because lupus is kind of a boring disease, but setting it to rap with like some beats behind it and stuff, and rhyming and doing internal rhymes and stuff like that makes it the information easier to digest and listen to and entertaining.
And are there other characters, or is this a one-person play?
Yeah, it's me, and then Kelsey Victoria McLean plays Diane, who is she is diagnosed with lupus. Spoiler alert! And then Matthew Lindblom plays multiple characters, and then Annie Lehman also plays multiple characters. So the show focuses on Mark and Diane, who are a like a pretty successful all-American couple, and Diane is diagnosed with lupus, and then it's kind of focuses more on like the struggle that the disease puts on relationships with loved ones rather than, and then kind of on Diane herself and how and what people with chronic illnesses kind of have to go through.
And does she actually have lupus in real
life? No, she doesn't. Oh, okay. She doesn't, and that was...
So you're the only one that actually has
Okay. Yes, I am. I'm not the only one. There's a bunch of people in America.
Right. My mom had it when...
I'm sorry to hear that.
So for those who don't know what lupus is, so the, tell us a little bit about what that is.
And and it's kind of difficult to explain to people because it's different for every person who has it. But it's an autoimmune disease, and it basically makes your immune system overactive, and so your body kind of attacks itself, and it treats your organs, which is like your skin, your liver, your kidneys, your heart, your lungs, as like a virus, and sometimes will attack it. And there's a bunch of different complications, and there's not very much medication for it. And I actually had a piece that was written on me by the Lupus Foundation of America about the show, and they've kind of not really been a partner with it, but they've been helping me kind of promote it and sending encouragement and stuff throughout the way, so that's been great. But yeah, and there's a song called What Do You Got in the show, because it's all music from start to finish, and so it's an opera. And there's that song kind of tells all of the inner workings of what lupus is in rap and jazz style music.
Is this something new for you, or have you done plays before?
I wrote Super the Musical last year, and it was a totally different thing. It was about a high school kid who thinks he got superpowers, but he really didn't. Yeah. And then there was a bunch of fighting and wacky jokes and just stupidity on stage. And then I was thinking about doing another one of those, but then I'd kind of matured a little bit as a writer and decided to tackle something a little more difficult. And so Super was the first show that I had written, and I had a lot of support and success last year.
Was that a show at Fringe?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it was at the Heartland last year.
Okay.
And then this year we're at the Jerome Stage of the Unicorn. And I've been an actor in town. I've acted with the Kansas City Actors Theater and with the Met and with EGADS and Musical Theater Heritage and a couple other companies. And I also work for the KC Improv Company based out of Westport. And been a performer with them for 3 years, and so I'm kind of doing a whole bunch of different things. But yeah, this is definitely my first foyer into writing a drama, and then it's also all music, and it was all just me. I was in Arkansas on a touring gig, and I just spent 6 hours a day writing music. So, yeah.
And... So let me go. Well, actually, tell us. You set the Unicorn.
Yeah.
When's your first show?
Yeah, our first show is at 9 o'clock on Saturday, the 23rd. And there's also there's a 10-minute talk back after the show. The show's 50 minutes long, and there's a talk back to kind of inform about the disease, and we have things from the Lupus Foundation and stuff. And 20% of the proceeds will go towards the Lupus Foundation. So.
Okay, and you mentioned there's not many treatments. What are the treatments in your case? That you...
I was on azathioprine, Plaquenil, prednisone, corticosteroids, Benlysta, which is like an IV kind of chemotherapy drug. Right now, I'm basically medication-free, and I've just been eating healthier and taking better care of my body, getting more sleep and stuff, and I've had it lucky, but there's a lot of people that don't have it lucky. But, yeah, there's really not that much as far as, like, treatments and stuff.
Well, back when my mom was alive and getting treatment for it, the only treatment then was the steroids.
Yeah.
None of those other drugs you mentioned were around then.
Yeah.
So. All right, let me go to Hirsch Ellis is our next guest. And you are doing the 2x... Tennessee?
By Tennessee Williams.
Okay. All right. So, and you're the producer and writer?
No. I'm the director.
Director.
The
okay.
plays were both written by Tennessee Williams, who is one of the most important playwrights of the last 100 years for plays like Cat in a Hot Tin Roof and A Streetcar Named Desire, But these were two actually wrote. He wrote 71 acts in his lifetime. One of which, we're doing two of them. One of them was written for television in the 70s and isn't often done on stage. And then the other actually wasn't discovered until 2010 when it was published. So this is actually the first production of it outside of the Eastern Seaboard.
Okay, so what are the two shows that you're doing by him now?
So in Two by Tennessee Williams, we are doing two. They both run about 30-minute plays. They both run about 30 minutes, and they're back-to-back. One is called I Can't Imagine Tomorrow, and it's about these two people that are each other's only friend in the world. He's a stutterer, so he's an outsider because of that, and she's a bit of a recluse. She's a recluse. So the two of them are really the only other person each of them has. So it's trying to watch two people that have very difficult time connecting with the rest of the world try to connect with each other. It's a really sweet and hauntingly beautiful play. And then the other is called Green Eyes. And it's two honeymooners waking up after a night out partying in New Orleans. And they're trying to figure out the events of the night before. And it drops them into this game of seduction and power that just gets more and more dangerous as the show goes on.
All right. So I'm assuming it sounds like you're a fan of Tennessee Williams.
Yeah. Well, he writes these plays that just give us so much to work with because there's so many layers there. Because the words and the way that people talk gives us so much to work with to figure out really. He writes these plays where they're saying one thing, but what they're saying 10 times that. On top of what just is in the words.
And these are drama, is that correct?
They're dramas, yes.
All right. And so what how did you decide on these two plays specifically by him?
Well, so I was working on one. I was challenged to do it because it's not the type of work I'd normally do. I don't normally do very wordy plays. My work's more visual normally. So I was working on these. I live in New York for a large portion of the year, and I was working on these for a production up there. And at the same time, to do Fringe, you actually have to sign on in January to do it. And half the time, you don't have a show yet because it's 7-8 months ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So you sign on and go, yeah, I'll do Fringe, and then I'll come up with a show in a few months. And then April rolls around, and you go, oh, wait, I don't have a show yet. So I called the two actors that I was working with on this in New York and said, you guys want to come to Kansas City for a week? And thankfully they both said yes. And I'm very excited to have them here and get to show them Kansas City and have them be a part of really, it's like summer camp for the theater community out here because we get to get together and all come together and I see all my colleagues and friends that I don't get to see all at the same time in a very short amount of time together.
Okay. And are you? Have you done other plays in Kansas City before?
I have. I run a theater company called Homegrown Theater. We're in our fifth season, and we do a lot of work. This is our third year doing a show for Fringe, and then we do other main stage work at very. We've been at just off Broadway. We've been at a lot of very found spaces. We've been at the Carlson Center at Johnson County before. Yeah.
Okay, and what are the shows you've done for Fringe before?
Oh, so 2 years ago, we did a version of The Princess Bride for Fringe, where we took the screenplay, which is written for a movie where you can jump a lot of locations and have all these characters, and tried to figure out how to stage it with 8 actors and a bucket of props. And then last year, I directed Princess Bride. And then last year, I produced a play called Really, Really that deals with a lot of the issues surrounding hearsay and party culture on university campuses.
All right. And you mentioned the Homegrown Theater. So
yes.
That's your...
Yeah, I'm the artistic director, and I direct a lot of the work, but I bring in other directors to work with as well. We're less than 5 years old, so we're still a developing company. Fringe is a great opportunity for us to put some work out there with the rest of the Kansas City theater community.
And that's here in Kansas City, too?
Yes, it is.
Okay, all right.
Yes,
you mentioned something about Newark before.
Yeah, I live in New York a portion of the year.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, we're developing Two for Tennessee Williams for New York for the fall.
Okay.
And so we have this great opportunity to test the play out here in Kansas City because Kansas City audiences are great, and they're really honest, and they really want to be there. So we get to test the show out here first for them. And then we're going to do it in New York in the fall. And now getting to do it for KC has opened up all sorts of, maybe let's take the show to this festival. And we're talking about all sorts of different places we can take the show.
I have a niece in New York City that's part of the Actors Guild there.
It's a small world. I'm sure at some point everyone in the theater community up there, just like here, bumps into each other at some point.
Yeah. She's done shows at Unicorn and one or two shows at Unicorn. She was at UMKC before. So let me have you tell us which theater your show's at.
Yeah. We're at the Arts Asylum, 2 by Tennessee Williams. Okay. Our first show is Saturday, July 23rd, this Saturday. It's 7:30 p.m. We've got six shows coming up with the Arts Asylum. It's 1000 East 9th Street. Pete's in the same theater as us.
And if people who are listening, if you want to see both Pete's show and Hirsch's show, I believe Monday evening on the 25th, both of your shows play.
Yeah, we're at 7:30, and I think Pete is right after us.
Right, okay. So I want to thank the two of you for being here.
No problem.
For those just joining us, we have been talking about the Fringe Festival, the 2016. If you missed part of this and want to hear the rest of it, it will be available as a podcast later. And so we invite you to be back next week on Radioactive Magazine. Marvita will be here hosting. And Brian, do you know what her topic is? All right. Well, Marvita will be here, and that will be listed on the website later this week what the topic will be. So next up will be Counterspin.